Welcome to KCIABC Today, the podcast of the Kansas City Chapter of the International Association of Business Communicators. I'm your host, Roy Harriman.
Our guest today is Kirk Hazenzahl, co-founder and president of RareWire, and one of four panelists at our upcoming luncheon on developing iPhone and iPad apps, Tips from the Pros. And you can join us there at 11:30 on Thursday, April 18th at Brio on the Plaza, and you can find a reservation link in the description of this podcast. Kirk, thank you for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here.
Kirk, before we talk about iPhone and iPad apps, why don't you give us a thumbnail of your company, RareWire, and what makes it unique?
RareWire is a mobile app development platform. It's a software that we invented. We started the company a little over 2 years ago in Kansas City with the notion that it's very hard to build apps. And so we invented a new platform that we thought we could make it easier to build apps and open up the audience to potential app builders. So over the past 2 years, we've used that platform almost as our secret weapon to provide the service of building apps for companies, and had a lot of success there, but always with the bigger goal that we wanted to develop this software platform and the tools that go with it to make it available to anyone to build apps. And we just launched that platform in October of last year, so it's been a crazy time.
Well, I was intrigued by studying your website before I got on the phone here, and I think you're going to bring a unique perspective to our panel, and I encourage everyone to check out the RareWire website and the product that they offer. Kirk, everyone is talking about apps all the time, to the point where sometimes I wonder if it's overkill, and so it's in this environment that marketers and communicators may be feeling pressure to create an app just because everyone else is doing it. What are a few things that companies should consider before they head down that road?
You know, I think you're right. It is a crazy time. I use the analogy sometimes when I'm talking to people that it's almost like the internet boom of the 90s, where you heard about this thing called websites. And everybody was saying, what's a website? And once they looked into it, they said, hey, maybe we ought to build a website for our church or for our Little League or for our Boy Scout group or whatever it may be. I think that same thing is happening right now. The next internet boom or tech boom is happening right now, and it's called mobile. The reality is that people now have a computer in their pocket, and so it's changed the user experience. And so when people are talking about and companies are talking about building apps, I think they have to think of it in that sense. If your idea is to build an app for app's sake and to just repurpose your website, that's going to be a failure. And actually, Apple has specifically started to not allow those anymore. It has to be something more than that. And so you have to think about it as a separate tool, so to speak, of how you can communicate and market to or work with the end user of the app. So I could talk to you for a long time about this, but I think in general it's a new industry. I think that now that it's been going, where I think Forrester is saying companies are going to spend $100 billion by 2015 building apps, you have to get creative on how you're going to use this new functionality. And the last thing I would say in an abbreviated answer is that the idea of the app is only part of it. You have to have a good plan on how you're going to market the app. It's not like the early days of if you build it, they will come.
Right.
There's a million apps out there now in the App Store, and so you have to have a good plan on how you're going to promote your app and get people to use it.
Excellent thoughts. And so it sounds like really just like any other business decision, there needs to be a strong justification behind it. Is it going to bring in revenue? Is it going to connect with customers? Is it going to engage the audience?
That's exactly right. There was a stat out there that I read that 60% of apps built make less than $5,000 in revenue. So I think what I've seen over the past year is the enterprise, the companies are starting to realize that this is a tool that they can use in their company's business processes and workflows. So not necessarily a revenue generator, so to speak, but more of an effective tool to promote their business or grow their business or solve a workflow problem for their company. I also heard a stat recently that for the first time ever, the number of apps in iTunes that are free has dropped below 50%. So people are coming more and more accustomed to spending a little bit of money, 99 cents or more on the app. So it's kind of a conflicting statement that I just said, but I think it just shows the user experience and the marketplace in general is still changing and evolving because it's so new.
And I think you have an interesting perspective there, Kirk, in that looking at apps just as a way to enhance revenue is only part of the picture, or it may not even be in the picture for your company if it can help to promote, as you said, process workflow more effectively. Whatever the purpose, if an app can help to bring that about, then it may be worth doing. Kirk, we were just talking about Apple. In this panel discussion on April 18th, we are going to be focusing on the iPhone and iPad apps. But let me ask you about the Android operating system, which claims a majority of the market, and now we also have Microsoft pushing its own mobile operating system. Do you have any advice on how marketers should weigh the importance of apps for these other two operating systems versus iPhone and iPad apps?
It's an interesting question. I would separate it in my personal opinion. I would separate it between phones and tablets. If your app is a phone app, then I believe you absolutely need to design it and try to get it built for both Apple and for Android devices. They're roughly a split of the market worldwide. I think Android even is in the lead, and there's more Android phones out there in the world than there are iPhones. For tablets, I believe, and don't hold me to these exact numbers, but I believe that Apple still dominates the tablet usage market by, I want to say, 80 or 90% of web traffic and interactivity and usage of tablets is still on the iPad. So I think the Android-based tablets, while they're growing every day, are still way, way behind the you know, I think there's over 100 million iPads and tablets and iPad minis out there on the market today. So I think it depends on the app in particular and what it is that you're trying to, you know, what it is you're trying to accomplish. Actually, it kind of ties in nicely to the value proposition of RareWire and what we do, because one of the problems is it's not easy. To go build a really robust app that's native, you have to be a hardcore programmer that writes it in one language for Android in Java, but then if you want to do it for Apple, you got to be another hardcore programmer that has a different skill set that can write in another language called Objective-C. So the value proposition and solution that RareWire provides is to build it once on one platform, on our platform, and then be able to publish to both of those operating systems. And we just recently launched our Android engine in beta this past month. So hopefully it'll help companies and individuals solve that problem. At least that's what we're trying to accomplish.
Well, those are some good insights. And I appreciate the fact that you said publishing apps is hard. It's just nice to hear from people at the outset of a process that, hey, this is going to be difficult, it'll be easy. Just, you know, put your feet up on the desk and, you know, we'll have it finished in a couple of days for you here. Well, we only have time for one more question, and I would love to hear from you. What is a common misconception about apps that you find among marketers that you work with?
I think it goes back to what I said earlier. It's the misconception of if you build it, they will come. The way things have evolved today, you can build anything. I can build you the coolest app you've ever dreamed up, and I can put it in the App Store. And if you don't have a plan to market it and promote it, and it, I think it ties back into standard business practices is you have to have a whole campaign of promoting it via email and on your website and through other forms of media to get usage and point people to that app. No matter how great of idea it is, the whole build it and they will come concept. Well, I think it worked early on with the launch of the iPad. I think now that there's a million apps in the App Store, it gets lost in the shuffle. So just as big a part of the solution is you got to have a good business plan on how to promote the app.
When you finish the app, the work is not done.
Exactly. Just like anything else, you could go invent the coolest car in the world, but if nobody knows it exists and you can't promote it and get the word out there that it exists for people to go test drive it, then you're not going to succeed. So it's kind of standard business practices apply here as well, where you got to have a good plan of attack to promote the solution.
Well, Kirk, thank you for sharing your insights here today, and we look forward to hearing more from you at the panel discussion on the 18th.
All right, I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We've been speaking with Kirk Hazensall, co-founder and president of RareWire, who will be one of four panelists at our upcoming luncheon on developing iPhone and iPad apps, Tips from the Pros, which is at 11:30 on Thursday, April 18th at Brio on the Plaza. Just look at the podcast description to find a registration link.
Thanks for joining us for KCIABC today. You can listen to this podcast on iTunes as well as our YouTube channel, and you can subscribe to receive automatic updates on both. Learn more about us at kc.iabc.com. Thanks again.